What a wonderful day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing and we're glad in it. How many of you folks are thankful to be saved tonight by the wonderful grace of God, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hitting the Lord good to us? Amen. Let's take our Bible tonight. Turn with us to the Gospel according to John. I'm looking in chapter 14. The Gospel according to John, chapter number 14. I appreciate the privilege of being back at the Sunlight Baptist Church. And I appreciate your pastor and the invitation to be here this evening. I want you to look at John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want you to mark in verse number 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." I'd like to preach tonight on the real cure for heart trouble. The real cure for heart trouble. Let's pray together, please. I would ask tonight that every man, woman, boy, and girl would pray from your heart that God will speak to you through the preached word. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to stand tonight and proclaim the scriptures. I pray that the sweet Holy Ghost of heaven will move in this place tonight. Help me, Lord, and then help your people. Give us what we need tonight from the scriptures. Father, if there be a soul in this building that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, may this be the very hour that they trust him with their eternal destiny. Help me, Lord, I pray. Fill me with the Holy Spirit tonight. Use us for your honor and glory. Help me to preach as a dying man to dying men, never sure to preach again. I ask you for wisdom, liberty, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. In the text for tonight, Jesus Christ had some words of encouragement for his faint-hearted disciples. No doubt John chapter 14 has long been a favorite chapter of the saints of God. And the Lord prefaced his last sermon before his death with these comforting words: "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. See, the Lord was well aware that it wouldn't be long until his disciples would need those words.
That's right.
There was coming a time when they would experience the darkest hour they had ever faced. And they needed what he had to say to carry them through.
That's right.
After his return to the Father. Times without number, God's bereaved and sorrowing people down through the ages have turned to these three verses to comfort them when death has invaded their home, and rightfully so. I believe this is one of the highlights, if you will, of the gospel according to John. And may I say tonight that the scriptures have lost none of their power. They are as relevant tonight as the very day when Jesus Christ spoke these words. I believe in the inspiration of the scriptures. Amen. I believe tonight I hold in my hand in this King James Bible the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Amen. And so listen, friend, this great sermon of our Lord is still relevant for right now. And boy, is it ever needed. We're living in a day, friend, when people are suffering heart trouble. Yes, they are. You say, are you a medical doctor? Oh, wait just a minute. You and I both know that physical heart problems are destroying many bodies. But did you know tonight that spiritual heart problems are destroying many minds of many believers? Oh, the heart inside your chest may be beating just fine tonight, but I wonder about your mind. No doubt I'm preaching to somebody this evening that has trouble in the mind of your heart, friend. I mean, the seat of your emotions is troubled and discouraged and torn up. The Lord has a message for you tonight. The message is, let not your heart be troubled. I asked myself this question as I prepared this message. Why is it that people suffer heart trouble? What are the reasons for these spiritual heart problems? I'd like to say, number one, there's a lot of heart trouble because of fear. Fear. Scripture says in Luke 21 and verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear. And Jesus was speaking about a time in the last days as his people begin to look at the circumstances of the world. And he said their hearts begin to fail them because of fear, and it's over the future. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The future of our country doesn't look so good tonight. Now, you might as well say amen. You know that's the truth. I mean, we're in a mess in this nation. And we're seeing all kinds of things begin to come to pass that are right here in the scriptures. And you know, Brother Jimmy, listen. If I wasn't saved, I would have a reason to fear tonight. I mean, I'd be worried. My future would be one of two things, Brother Paul. It would either be tribulation here on earth or going to hell when I die. My friend, there's a sad future for those that are not redeemed. But I'm glad for you and I that are saved. This old world is not our home. Amen. I'm glad, neighbor, we've got a better place to go. One day after a while, the Lord's coming, and he's going to gather his people in and take us home, amen. Amen. The fear of the future has many hearts troubled tonight. I go to the gas station, and I hear people say, man, what are we going to do? Is gas going to be $4 a gallon before the end of the summer? And that's what they're saying. And you're smart enough to know that when that gasoline goes up, everything you buy in that store goes up because it costs more to get there. And man, I'm going to tell you, you get to thinking about the future in this old world, it will trouble your heart. And then I want to say a second reason why many men's hearts are troubled. It's because of finances. When you can't pay that bill, and you know you can't pay that bill, that can trouble your heart. I'm afraid, Brother Myers, that many marriages have ended because of financial difficulties. Many churches, no doubt, have been split because of a financial argument. And that's sad, neighbor, but it's the truth. We worry about our finances. We're concerned about how we're going to get by, friend. And I know some people may have it a little easier than others. And if, you know, if God's really blessing you, then I rejoice with you. I'm glad for you. And I'm not bitter at you if God's really blessed you financially. But I'm saying most of the people that I preach to are very concerned about the status of their finances. And it'll trouble your heart if you get to thinking on these things. May I give a third reason why many people's hearts are troubled? And that's because of family problems. No doubt many a mother will cry herself to sleep tonight over a child out of the will of God. Do you know I'm telling the truth? No doubt tonight many loved ones will sit next to a hospital bed and weep next to that person they love so dearly. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Your family is the closest thing you've got here on earth. And when there's a problem in the family, it hurts. I went to a funeral in recent days of a couple that had been married for 50 plus years. And the wife had passed on, went on to meet the Lord. And Brother Eddie, they were crying all over that funeral home that night. I never heard anything like I heard in all my life. Some fruit loop of a preacher get up there and rebuke those people for crying.
Oh, he's a fruit loop. Yeah.
And make people feel like you're not right with God if you show emotions over somebody that died. I thought to myself, hey man, the Bible said that when people get married, two become one. They've been one for 50 plus years and you cut something in half, it hurts.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with emotion. I say there's nothing wrong with emotion.
Amen.
Family problems can trouble your heart tonight. I tell you, a fourth thing that gets us down and troubles our hearts is our own faults and failures. You know how I know I'm saved tonight, Brother Lester? When I sin, the Holy Spirit lets me know it. Amen. When I do wrong, the Spirit of God that is living in me bothers me. When I fail the Lord, and I do fail, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come on. Paul said, in me, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm going to tell you, we all fail and we all come short of the glory of God. And if we're really saved, that bothers us. I mean, hey, if I leave here tonight and I stop by the pilot and I get me a six pack, the Holy Spirit's going to let me know. You're wrong. Now, we've got a free will, but God deals with us on our faults and our failures. And listen to me, friend, long years after you've repented of stuff that you've done in your past, there is an enemy that'll continue to bring it up. Now, you know I'm telling the truth tonight. I mean, there's things I repented of years ago that the devil loves to remind me of. Can I get a witness tonight? I mean, he brings that stuff up, and I'll be going down the road doing good, and my friend enjoying the presence of God, and I'll pass by some place where I used to go, and the devil will say, how unworthy I am. And don't you remember you used to do this? and you used to go there, and you used to talk this way, and you used to do these things. Now y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but I tell you what I've done. I've pulled over before, put my Chevy Tahoe in park, got out and walked around the car, opened up the passenger door and said, "Hey, I'm tired of listening to you. Get out of here." Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But your faults and your failures can trouble your heart. And then may I say a fifth thing that'll trouble your heart, and I've experienced this personally in recent days, is when you're forsaken by your friends. If you ever want to find out who your real friends are, just go mess up. Okay? Because the crowd that will turn their back on you when you fall and you need them the most was never your friend.
Amen.
They were never your friend. But that crowd, hey, the Bible said a friend loveth at all times. Amen. That crowd that'll stick with you. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to condone sin. But my friend, we're to love each other in spite of the faults and the failures in our life. And we're to be a friend of people that are in need. Hey, that's what Christianity is all about tonight. And I'm going to tell you, it'll trouble your heart when people you thought were your closest friends say things like this: "I don't want anything to do with you anymore." You talk about heart trouble. That'll trouble your heart. "I don't think I'll spend any longer on the reasons for heart trouble. I'd like to move to the remedy for heart trouble." You see, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh man, that's a blessing to me. Is it legal to enjoy your own preaching? I mean, I feel good tonight. I mean, that's a blessing to me that the Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He gave us a remedy for our heart trouble.
Amen.
I'm going to give you three things and we'll go home. Number one, these are all right here in John 14. Why don't you try these three supplements for your heart trouble? Number one, the comforting person. The comforting person. Look with me at John 14 and verse 16. Oh, hallelujah. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Your King James translators had enough sense to make that a capital C. Yep. Talking about a person. Amen. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Isn't that good? Hallelujah. He said, "I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm going to come to you." And he did come to us, Brother Gary. Now, and he's with us right now. You say, "You mean Jesus Christ is here tonight?" Absolutely. In the person of the Holy Spirit, who is indwelling every born again believer. We're not alone tonight. We don't have to die of heart trouble. There's a person living in us to comfort us. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name tonight. Notice the Savior's promised prayer. He said, "I will pray the Father." Oh, you better believe Jesus gets his prayers through. Amen. More than boys must have been glad when Jesus said, "I'll pray the Father," because they knew his prayer would touch heaven and get right on through. I'm so glad tonight we've got an advocate. Is anybody hearing me? I'm so glad we've got a mediator, somebody to carry us to God. I'm so thankful tonight that every time I sin, I'm not going to run to some booth somewhere and talk to some man. But I can bow my head and say, my Father, in the name of Jesus. And that name, Jesus, gets the attention of our Father. Amen. My Father in Jesus' name, and He carries me. Brother, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Thank God He takes my prayers and carries them to the Father.
Amen.
He's my mediator tonight, and He promised me He would pray the Father. So there's the Savior's promised prayer. But notice the Spirit's promised presence. Jesus said, He shall give you another comforter. I've been your comforter now these last 3.5 years. I'm leaving. But this word another indicates that the comforter come was of the same kind and came from the same place. You could preach the Trinity right there. There are three that bear record in heaven. Amen. There's the Father, there's the Word, and there's the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, friend. And so Jesus said, this Comforter that is coming is of the same kind. He came from the Father. He is the Paraclete, if you will. He is one that is called alongside to help us. He's our comforter tonight. How many of you folks can bear witness to the fact that the Holy Spirit has brought you comfort in times of sorrow? Amen. I mean, you know what it is to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. I've been asked to preach funerals since I've been called into the ministry. And I know Brother Myers, your good pastor, has done several funerals. And I'd like to say this, Brother Myers, as preachers, there's only so much we can say. I mean, we try to be there for the family, and we try to comfort them, and we try to give them encouraging words, and that's our job, and we do our job. But I'm going to say to you, when that person is saved, there's somebody living in them that can give them a whole lot more comfort than I can, a whole lot more than you can, brother. With all due respect, the Holy Spirit can swing by that funeral home or that graveside and give that family the comfort they stand in need of. Why, He certainly can. He came to permanently comfort. Jesus said He's going to abide with you forever. Jesus said in verse 17, He shall be in you. Now, they didn't understand that. This was a completely new doctrine to them. Why, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God would come upon a man and leave a man. But Jesus said, He's going to be in you. Scripture said the Lord came upon Gideon one day. Scripture teaches that the Spirit came upon Samson one day and then departed from him. Scripture teaches that the Spirit came upon Saul one day, and it departed from him. They didn't have what you and I have. Oh, but ever since, the church, my friend, got empowered in Acts chapter 2. On that day of Pentecost, there's been a difference. The Holy Spirit has not just been skipping around and meeting people for a specific purpose, but He's been indwelling our bodies. This was the doctrine that Paul taught in Romans 8 and 9 when he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And again in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is
in you. Hey, friend, that Old Testament Jew had to wait outside that tabernacle and watch that high priest go in once a year and lay that blood on the mercy seat and watch from a distance as the Shekinah glory of God came and dwelt upon that tabernacle. I'm glad things have changed now, baby. I'm glad I don't have to watch a tabernacle. I'm so glad I don't even have to be in this building for the Spirit of God to meet with me. He said, you are my tabernacle. You are my temple. I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to live in you. In other words, everywhere you go, I'm going. You'll never be alone when the Holy Spirit comes. He comes to seal and to indwell, to permanently comfort. He came to preach Christ. Jesus said he's going to testify of me. And he's going to glorify me. You want to know how to find out if a preacher is filled with the Spirit? Ask yourself this question. Does he exalt himself? Or does he exalt Jesus Christ? Because if the Spirit is in that man, he will be lifting up the name of Jesus. He came to permanently comfort. He came to preach Christ. And he came to personally convict. Jesus said, this Spirit is going to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm glad for that. The world's bad enough as it is. Imagine what it would be like if there was no Holy Spirit to restrain the power of the enemy. The Holy Spirit has a regenerating work. John chapter 3, we're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a reproving work. That's what I talked about a moment ago. When we do wrong, he reproves us. But he also has a restraining work. 2 Thessalonians 2, he holds back the power of the wicked one tonight. You have heart trouble? You think about the comforting person. Let me give you this second supplement real quickly. It's right here in John 14. Not only the comforting peace, or excuse me, the comforting person, but the calming peace. Look at me in verse 27. I like this. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There it is again. Neither let it be afraid. He talked about a peace that he would leave behind. Sort of like a going away present. I'm leaving you a peace. This peace is a saving peace. When you get born again, you experience the peace of God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a saving peace, but it's a special peace. Jesus called it my peace. Amen. My peace. I'm going to give you my peace. That's a peace that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. And by the way, it's a peace that doesn't move when circumstances change. And they will. How many knows they will? They'll change. But the peace of the Lord is right there because it's a special peace. Let me get Isaiah 26:3. The Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How about, my friend, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. I'm saying, friend, if you've got heart trouble, let the peace of the Lord fill your heart tonight. And then it's a sovereign peace. Jesus said in John 16:33,
these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace.
He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Amen. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
If this ever gets through to you, it'll make a difference in your life. The one who overcome the whole world is living in you. I'm talking about a comforting peace. A comforting person and a calming peace. But I want to move tonight to the third and final point of my message. Preaching about the real cure for heart trouble. And this one probably does more for me than any of the others. I talked to you about a comforting person. I spoke to you about a calming peace. But I want to speak for just a moment about a coming promise. A coming promise. I want you to look in your Bible at verse number 3. We're still in John chapter 14. I don't want you to miss this verse of Scripture. Well, you talk about helping your heart. Right, here we go. And if I go and prepare a place for you, mark these three words. I will come again. How many believes that tonight? I will come again. Now in context, he's speaking to the disciples, and he did come again after the resurrection and meet with them in the upper room. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. This applies to you and me. Jesus says to us, I will come again. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to receive my people. Amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believes that? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen, for the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, amen, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, listen, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up, hallelujah, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And did you know how Paul closed out that chapter? He said, wherefore comfort. Wherefore comfort. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what comforts me tonight? He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Hallelujah! He's coming again. And that's a promise. And this book says God cannot lie. There lie four of the greatest words ever spoken by any man on this earth. Since the foundation of the heavens and the earth, I will come again. Now here it is, neighbor. Jesus either told the truth or else he's a liar. Make up your mind. It's that simple. He said, I'll come again. He talked about a prepared place, Brother Myers. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, can I give you just one of the many reasons why I love the King James Bible? Could I say that? In my Father's house are many mansions. The new perverted versions take away mansions and insert rooms. I'm not going to heaven to sleep in a motel room.
No.
Amen. Jesus said, many mansions. Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you, John, when he was on that Isle of Patmos, he got a glimpse of that place, and he saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for his husband. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, God has a place prepared for those that are prepared for it. A prepared place. He talked about a precious promise. Jesus said in John 16 and 22, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. He said, I'm going to see you again. You know, I like that song. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. So now make a Presbyterian blow the back of their choir robe off. Amen. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. I look upon the face of the one who saved me by his grace. And brother, he's going to take me by the hand. Amen. And lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that'll be. How many of you got a loved one in heaven? Raise your hand. You'll see him again. You saved tonight? Bless God, I said you'll see him again. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. There's coming a glad day. We'll all be together again. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. We'll meet around the throne of the Lamb of God. We'll cast our crowns at his feet. We'll sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb. And for all eternity, we will enjoy the presence of the Lord. Oh man, what a day that's going to be. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go away. Amen. In a moment, Brother Paul, in the twinkling of an eye, trumpet's going to sound, the Lord's going to come, and we're going to go home. I will come again. He's coming again. Maybe that'll help you with your heart trouble. When your heart is troubled, you remember that comforting person. You rejoice in that calming peace. And you remind yourself of that coming promise. He said, I will come again. Let not your heart be troubled. Would you stand with us all over the building tonight? Thank you, brother. Come on, brother. Bragging on Jesus tonight. I hope you know him. Lord God, Brother Eddie, if some of these people don't know him, why not tonight? My God, what they're missing out on, friend. If you're not saved tonight, you come and meet Jesus. I promise you, he's the best friend you'll ever know. And if you're saved tonight and you're having problems like we all do, won't you come to him and let him help you? Let him help you tonight. Let's sing this great old song and rejoice together. You might just want to go to somebody and tell them tonight, hey, friend, I'm looking forward to spending eternity with you. That'd be good. It's going to be a great day. Let's sing this great song tonight.
There is glory.
Amen.
And
hallelujah. That's real, friend. Heaven is a real place tonight, buddy. I'm glad I'm saved on my way to heaven. Why don't you go to somebody tonight and tell them you love them? Tell them you're looking forward to spending eternity with them. What a day, hallelujah. Sing it now.
And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
Sing that second verse, please. Let's sing this together.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear,
no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. Listen to this. Wherever I shall live, the one who died for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
What a day, glorious day.
Sing that chorus tonight with all your heart.
What a day that will be,
with my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved. By the hand and leads me through the promised land.
What a day, glorious day that will be.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures tonight, dear Lord. I want to thank you for the Spirit, and I want to thank you, Lord, for heaven. Lord, it's real tonight. It's my home tonight. Lord, I bless your name for saving me. I deserve to go to hell with the devil and his angels. I want to thank you for Jesus. Bless your name tonight. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray for every soul in this building tonight. Especially, Lord, those that have spiritual heart trouble. Use the word, Lord, that I've tried to deliver from thee to help them and bless them tonight. I pray, Father, for the Sunlight Baptist Church. And Lord Jesus, before you come and get your church, I pray that many souls would be added to that number. We love you tonight. And we thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor?
I don't know about you, but I feel the breeze of heaven. When he got to that part, I was enjoying the whole message. But when he started talking about the coming, something began to stir in my heart. Folks, Jesus is coming. All sickness and sighing and crying will be over. No more heartache or pain when Jesus comes. As everyone bows their head tonight and everyone praying just for a moment, I wonder if Jesus were to come tonight, would you rise to meet him? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you have a living, real relationship with Christ? If not, would you slip that hand in the air right now and say, pray for me. Preacher, I need Christ in my life. If I were to die, I fear that hell would be my home. I need to invite Jesus into my life. Is there one here tonight? Slip that hand there and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Is there some young man, some young lady, father, mother, I need Christ in my life? Maybe you're here tonight and you come to church tonight with a heavy heart. Your heart is heavy. But he told you about a person, the Holy Spirit. He told you about a promise of his coming. There's comfort to be found in the Lord. If you've got a heavy heart tonight and you need the prayers of the Christian people, would you slip that hand there right now and say, pray for me? Preacher, I've got a heavy heart. A heavy heart. I need the prayers of the Christian people. Is it one? We're going to sing another verse of this song. If you need to come and pray, you come. Don't tarry, don't wait, but come quickly to Jesus, casting all your care upon him, because he cares. He really does. He cares for you. You come as we sing right now. This verse, just for you. You come.
And you've been